Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
So glad that you are with us. It's Friday. I like that jacket. That's a really pretty color.
I've gotten so many compliments
on
that.
Yeah, it pops. That pink
is
nice.
I appreciate that.
We've got a lot going on today. Let's start it out with the things that we are tracking on this Friday.
This is the three at three on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
A call to overturn the landmark Supreme Court decision that legalized same-sex marriage is on the agenda today at the U.S. Supreme Court. Experts think it's a long shot, but the justices could decide this afternoon to hear the case of Kim Davis, a Kentucky court clerk, who refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. A court found that she was in contempt. She was fined. She lost her job. Justices could decide as early as Monday whether or not they will actually take up the case. We will keep you updated.
Number two, John, for anyone who uses Snap, we have just learned last night that Governor Tony Evers has signed an executive order for our state to make sure that all SNAP funds, 100% in our state, everyone will be made whole. All of it will be given, at least for this month, amid this government shutdown. So, put this into perspective. Nearly 1 in 10 residents are on SNAP benefits, and two out of 10 are children left without aid. It's 700,000 residents or 270,000 children. Governor Tony Evers says the money will be allocated and converted through the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And also, anyone needing food assistance is urged to call 211, 211.
Good information. The third is Downton Abbey is back on streaming services.
You look back and think about all the changes you've witnessed.
That is Mosley speaking there. And guess what? Sandy Max had the chance to interview not that long ago Lord Grantham, Hugh Bonneville, Tom Branson, and Mr. Mosley. And she started the conversation with the stars of Downton Abbey with a question to break the ice.
Now that you've learned I'm from Milwaukee, what do you think of Milwaukee, Wisconsin? Each of you, what comes to mind?
Cheese.
Beer.
I just like the way you say it. Milwaukee.
Oh, do I have the accent?
Wisconsin cheese.
Have
you
had
some? It's true that you're not allowed, like, it never leaves Wisconsin, apparently. Like, you have to go and get the cheese to get it out. Is that true? Maybe that's a rumor.
Oh, no, we send it all around the world.
But you keep the best stuff at home.
Exactly. Well, you're welcome to come try some.
I'd love to.
Sandy said, by the way, that they were delightful. Hugh Bonneville, the larger-than-light Lord Grantham, she said, was the nicest guy. The full interview is on What's on Tap, the podcast page. You can find it all there. So it's been out at the theater. Now you can stream it beginning tonight on Peacock.
I know. I'm so excited. Jason and I watched both of them in theaters.
Yes, me too.
You did too?
Yeah.
We were going to watch it from home. The Queen came to visit, remember?
Yes.
Okay, this is the last one.
Yes.
And now it's going to be free on Peacock.
Yeah,
grand finale. $9.99. The grand finale.
It's so good. I love Downton Abbey. It is 3:13 at WTMJ. Hoops for Troops is this weekend. There's a big thing going on in Egypt. Office etiquette. Jason Wilde. My gosh, Brian Jacobson talking the markets. Very full show. Up next, it's Debbie on your roads. Milwaukee Press Club is one of the oldest in the nation. It has a really rich history. And one of the things they do is the Newsmaker Luncheon, which is really cool. WTMJ's Adam Roberts is on the panel, who will be talking to the Newsmaker this month on Monday. And Adam's with us in the studio. This is pretty cool, Adam.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I love going to these Newsmaker Luncheons. And we've had several reporters at this station over the years who've been on these panels. So I'm very honored to be continuing that tradition. And it's a good one. We've had a lot of really good Newsmaker luncheons so far this year. Chief Jeffrey Norman of the police department made a lot of news with his earlier this year. The new Archbishop, Jeffrey Grob, was the most recent one. And coming up on Monday, we will be talking with the new director of the Office of Community Wellness and Safety. Now, it's a mouthful of a title, but the name made a lot of waves when he was selected in August for that position. That was Adam Purcell. who is now the head of the department that has had a lot of questions over the years over its efficacy. Does it actually do what it's setting out to do? Under its old name, the Office of Violence Prevention, it felt like every other week that was a topic of discussion. So Purcell was not one of the three finalists for the position, and also has the notable aspect that he was himself convicted of first-degree intentional homicide for the 1995 gang shooting death of Robert Bruce, something that Purcell has owned and has sort of worn on his sleeve as a point of, I am a reformed individual and I'm the best person to lead this department.
I learned that to stop the bleeding, you have to apply heavy pressure on the wound. And I don't know if the community is ready for the pressure that I'm going to apply. And I told the mayor, I said, if the pressure I apply is too uncomfortable, no hard feelings, you can fire me.
So he said from day one of the position he wants the uncomfortable questions, and we've been able to ask a few of them. He's held some town hall events over the course of the last 2 months, but this will be really a true forum to ask those uncomfortable questions he says that he wants, and we will be ready, I, as well as the two other panelists that will be on this on Monday around noon.
He's a really interesting guy. Should be a great discussion. We'll look forward to you reporting back on Monday. Thanks, Adam.
Of course.
It is 3:19 at WTMJ. Something really cool happening at Fiserv Forum this weekend. That's up next on WTMJ.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News podcast is sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating. Your comfort is their family's tradition. Visit DaveDrakeCamp.com.
The Bucks are celebrating Hoops for Troops this Sunday at Fiserv Forum. It's a game against the Rockets, an afternoon game on Sunday. Check some of this out, Julia. The first 10,000 fans get a reversible camouflage winter beanie, military-related. Mm. Individuals with military IDs can buy discounted tickets. The Bucks Pro Shop always offers a discount for those in the military. Listen to what will happen on game day. Sunday celebrations will tip off pregame with an Army oath of enlistment. I've been here for this in the past. People just joining the Army go out on center court and they get their official oath that they're becoming members of the military. The national anthem will be performed by U.S. Air Force veteran Bob Kozlowski. He sings at some Brewers games. The official game ball will be delivered by members of the U.S. Army's Fox Valley ROTC battalion. They're going to rappel down a 100-foot rope.
No.
From the ceiling at Fiserv carrying the basketball.
No.
Isn't that cool? More than 30 service members will enjoy Sunday's game from courtside seats, courtesy of Bucks season ticket members. They give up their seats. And this is the part I really wanted to tell you about. What? You and I are just back from the Stars and Stripes Flight of Champions Honor Flight. There were planes for the Packers, the Brewers, which is our plane, and the Bucks Flight of Champions. And as part of the continuation of that celebration of our veterans, the Bucks will host more than 100 Stars and Stripes Honor Flight participants, volunteers, and family members at Sunday's game. And fans in attendance will hear from an Honor Flight participant and his guardian.
Oh, I'm s-
about
John,
Saturday.
I have chills.
Is that amazing?
The Flight of Champions, that is was so beyond. I loved having the Packers, the Brewers, and the Bucks.
Yeah.
Being willing to take part of that, for the Milwaukee Bucks to do that, and for all of our veterans to take part. Thank you so much to the Milwaukee Bucks. That is incredible.
It's incredible. So Flight of Champions had 160 Korean and Vietnam veterans who were on the flight. The Bucks now sponsor one of the planes are saying, come out on Sunday. We want to take care of you. We want to do all of that. You did incredible storytelling from the Honor Flight. And if you want to hear that storytelling, you should really check it out. You can also see some pictures, some other really cool stuff. It's easy. Text the word veteran to 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. Veteran, and you get all the coverage.
So I have seen the return of soldiers where they have to stay in line until they're let go or tapped. I have seen return of soldiers and hugging their families off of airports. Yeah. I have seen at Wisconsin State Fair Park Exposition Center more than 1,000 people taking the oath and are new citizens. I have never seen how incredible it would be for our next generation of military members to be sworn in on the Bucks court.
It's really cool.
Wow.
These are all young people who want to join the Army, who want to wear the flag, who want to represent this nation, who want to stand up and serve. And they will be sworn in at the Bucks game in front of that crowd of 18,000 people. I love that.
What do you think about the veterans that were just on the flight with us that will be watching our next generation being sworn in on the court.
That's really super cool. So they show up to the game knowing they're being honored, right? And most of them probably don't know that they're going to watch the swearing in. And most of our flight was Army. There are more Army than anybody on our flight. So now for those men and maybe Louise, our one woman, to show up and see the next generation taking their oath of enlistment, I think that's so cool.
I hope Louise is there. She's with the military police.
Yeah, she was pretty badass.
She was.
I would not mess with Louise.
No, it was incredible.
So if you want to see the stories related to Honor Flight, text the word veteran to 855-616-1620. Also in there is a link to the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. You can do two things there. You can sign up your veteran, which is the best way you can help us, or you can make a donation to the mission. It's cool.
Each plane ride for like each seat is more than $500 now.
Yep.
So, I mean, it costs a lot of money. And this one alone, the Flight of Champions, it was three separate planes that was chartered. And 100% no one's paid on the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight.
That's right.
No one.
That's right.
Which nonprofit do you know that does the same thing? Incredible organization. Text veteran to 855-616-1620. You'll see the carousel of everything John and I collected from this weekend in Washington, D.C. with our veterans from Wisconsin. And at the very bottom, there's a link to Stars and Stripes Honor Flight to learn more.
Check it out.
Ooh. Here's one for you. Had one job, Bile. The Louvre in Paris. It was hit with a major heist. You were gone when this happened.
I read about it, yes.
I mean, were they talking about in Asia too? I mean,
this
is worldwide.
They were, yep.
Thieves waltz right into the Louvre and made off with 8 royal jewels, including a diamond-studded crown once worn by King Louis and a sapphire necklace belonging to Marie Antoinette. That sapphire necklace alone is estimated to be worth 50 million euros.
Wow.
So it's priceless, but the number keeps going up and up and up of the amount of money. It's just priceless, and it's part of France's history. Police already arrested a man and a woman, but the real punchline in all of this, investigators say they've uncovered that the museum's ultra-secure password for security was Louvre.
Come on. Are you serious? That was the password for the Louvre security was Louvre?
Officials,
oh, my gosh.
Officials promise stronger security soon. Hopefully it's not going to be Louvre 2. Or pass Louvre word.
Oh, my gosh. Our IT people right now listening to this are falling out of their chair.
Oh, I know. They're doing a lot of face palms.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of wanted to mention this. It kind of goes with what's going on in Egypt. They're asking for a lot of artifacts from the Louvre that belong to their country. Now, this is really amazing. You've been to Egypt before or no?
No. Next year we're going.
Oh, I'm so jealous of you.
Yeah.
So Egypt, they just unveiled, check this out, its billion-dollar cultural crown jewel, the Grand Egyptian Museum.
Yes.
It's near the Giza Pyramids. The new museum houses more than 100,000 ancient artifacts. It's huge, including the complete collection treasures of King Tut and all those things, the gold mask, gilded chariots, more than 5,000 pieces on display together for the first time. Construction began, John, years ago. But with major conflicts, including political upheaval, etc., it was delayed for years. So this is part of Egypt's tourism strategy. Officials say this was built for the world, for everyone, to be a major draw for millions of visitors annually. They hope it will boost their economy and be a shining spotlight on ancient Egyptian civilization.
So we added a whole day to our trip so that we could spend a whole day at the museum. We literally changed the trip a little bit so that we could spend a day at the museum. It's such a big deal.
Leaders just unveiled it. Did you see images and renderings of it?
Oh, yeah. I saw all of it. It's incredible. It looks incredible.
Wow.
By the way, I hear that they've been in consultation with the security folks at the Louvre, and security code is going to be Egypt. They're just going to use security password Egypt. Password
Pyramid.
Egypt. Well, they could do Sphinx, but if our texters were any indicator, no one would know how to spell that.
Who would ever think of the password to priceless jewels in Europe, in the country
it's
of
insane.
France. The security code password
at the Louvre would be Louvre. It is 3:41 at WTMJ. All right, we've been waiting to discuss this topic all day long. New research out on office etiquette. The do's and don'ts. We want you to weigh in on office etiquette at your place. Are there things that drive you nuts? Are there things you've seen that make you just want to go nuts? Text us, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620.
John and I are going to be sharing is caring. We are, you're my best friend, honestly.
You're my best friend at work, too. All right. Now you're saying really nice things because in the next segment, you're going to say some things that aren't so nice.
We are going to share in our morning meeting.
Uh-huh.
Every day. I'm already laughing. Don't make me laugh because I got to be serious because there is a news angle to this. At 10:30, we have a meeting. Okay.
Every day.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're going to share. Okay. All right. I'm in.
Office etiquette.
No hard feelings, right?
Not at all. Are you kidding me?
All right, let's do it.
Adam Roberts is coming in, too.
Oh, brother.
It's going to be two against one in here.
Yeah. It's 3:42 at WTMJ.
We want you to weigh in on this story. Please. It's about meetings at work. Work etiquette. It's because I just spoke to John Bowerman. He's incredible. He facilitates strategy sessions for huge Fortune 500 companies all over the country. And a big talking point that the CEOs need help on is meeting etiquette. Do you, our fans, have an unforgettable work story of something that happened in a meeting? Text our setting limit of talk and text line 855-616-1620. My man, John Mercure, my men, and Adam Roberts are here. So we'll talk about our meeting in just a little bit. All right. This is what expert John Bowerman does when he facilitates strategy sessions for companies. And this is what he does when he begins.
One, I have to teach this almost on an everyday basis. And the first thing I do is set the container and the ground rules, which are, I'm going to have everyone put that away. And it's a little uncomfortable, but I'm setting the expectation.
You don't have to be that complex, he says. Just put away your phone. And if you, the boss, set that precedent, it can reduce the employee's anxiety. That, hey, for the next 45 minutes to an hour, it's okay. You don't have to check your email or answer calls or texts from clients or if you have something on deadline.
Guess what, guys? In 45 minutes, you're going to get the opportunity to check. But between now and 45-minute mark, I need your focused attention.
CEOs are telling him what is eroding their business is that there are AI note takers for meetings. Have you heard of this?
No.
I haven't before. Mm-hmm.
People feel they can just put that into autopilot and do several other things.
Okay, so they're not even listening and they just basically get the cliff notes after the AI listens to the meeting?
That's right.
Wow. What do CEOs think about that?
It's discouraging. Words are only part of the meeting. The energy is the largest part. And energy is when a meeting, when momentum is created within a meeting, it's energy feeding on energy. And you never get the opportunity to create that when people aren't reflecting that energy in the room.
He had one great story about a CEO he wouldn't name. This is what he did to get people to stop using their cell phone and laptops in a huge, huge meeting.
So one of the best stories, the boldest moves that a CEO made was he was not going to start the meeting until everyone was not distracted. And what that meant was he sat there and just waited and he waited and waited. And it wasn't until about the 14-minute mark where everyone kind of started to look up and look at each other. And, you know, and I want people to know that the message that you send, even if your phone is face up or face down, it sends a message to everyone else that you're only as important as the next notification that I get on my phone.
That is John Bowerman. He is also an entrepreneur, inspirational author on careers and life itself. His website is notlawstarting.com. All right. We here with Wisconsin's Afternoon News have a morning meeting at 10:30 every day. John and I are always there. So we are going to share our biggest meeting pet peeves. Let's start by saying John and Adam, they're amazing. Safe space. I love you both.
You guys too.
You guys have been chomping at the bit. May I start?
This is your topic. You've been chomping. All right, let's go.
May I start?
Yes, you start.
So, number one, when you are gone, I run the meetings a little differently.
It's good.
So, you always go first. I never start with myself. I start with the producer first, then the co-host filling in, then me. Why? Because you and me usually have the best ideas, and then when we go to the others, they go, oh yeah, I already thought of that. So it kind of puts it, it sets a precedent. You're not going to be able to take any of my stories. You are coming into the meeting with a good story idea. And we have come up with excellent stories while you have been gone. Go ahead, John.
I like that idea.
That's very nice.
I get that. I understand
that. All right, I have one more.
Not done.
All right, this is one of my pet peeves. Go ahead.
As I am talking.
Yes.
You wake up your phone to check the time.
It's true.
All right, that's it.
It's true.
That's it.
Do you think that's rude? Do you not like that? That is, now that I think about it, that's maybe a little disrespectful. How does that make you feel when I wake up my phone, when I tap it, see what time
it is? It's why I set my alarms to stay on track.
Okay.
So you have a lot of alarms.
So let's talk about that.
Go ahead.
This is my pet peeve. Our meeting only goes from 10:30 to 11. Julia has an alarm that goes off like every 5 minutes, and they have different tones.
I've made them more friendly.
Why do we have an alarm that goes? I quietly tap my phone to see what time it is. You set an alarm that blares to let you know what time it is, right?
Okay. I want the 10:30 meeting to start immediately.
I agree with that.
Okay, so
it does.
Well, sometimes people are talking and stuff, so I have this alarm.
You sure do. That goes off at 10:30, usually when I'm trying to start the meeting.
How tactful is that? Isn't that so nice?
No, because usually I'm talking. All right, then at 10:40, another alarm goes off. There's another one that goes off 10 minutes later every morning.
Okay, this is my 10:40 meeting.
This happens in our meeting.
It's the song, or not really. It's from the horror movie The Purge. Okay, it's a scary movie. It's very triggering.
Adam, what do you think when the Purge alarm goes off at 10:40?
It's pretty jarring. I mean, anyone who's watched that movie, it brings up the bad ASMR of what that movie actually is. And to the point of the alarm, so bringing myself in, I had an experience earlier today involving one of Julia's many alarms. I was doing an interview in the newsroom with someone who will be talking to you and you'll be hearing from on Sunday, and the alarm goes off. Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, not on that list of top 40 air...
Oh, she was sitting next to you as you recorded an interview?
Sorry, my cohort had an alarm go off. I'm going to just stay on the topic. So yeah, I had to say, I'm sorry, we got to restart. Julia's sitting next to me, and her alarm.
So what was that alarm, specific alarm set for?
Thank you. In my defense, that's the 12 p.m. alarm. It is so I can serve you, the fans, to look out for ABC News offerings so I can immediately reply and bring you, our wonderful fans, the best, most comprehensive coverage of the biggest story of the day. Correspondents on the ground, for example, UPS plane went down Louisville, radio stations across our country. Get that email.
All right, we get it.
You're writing this like a spokesperson making a defensive statement at a meeting.
If you don't pounce on the reply with that window you need, you're out of luck. Oh, I already have my defense here. I've come prepared.
Okay. What else do we not like? Okay, else is rude in the morning meeting or that is not good? What else? Go ahead.
Oh, you don't want my 10:55 alarm?
Oh, yeah. Well, Julie, the whole segment would take just alarm sounds if we were listening to all your alarms.
Okay, all right. Go ahead. Okay, what else? Adam, go.
Go, Adam. What else?
So one of the things that when I was producing this show and that sort of carried over that always irritated me.
I loved it when you produced the show, by the way. Go ahead.
Was when someone would have a topic idea.
Yes.
And then rather than just a quick bullet point of, so story X, and here's why it interests me, is ripping and reading like a full article and a half on the story as the pitch. Like, okay, well, just read me this, right. Read me the headline, and then let's talk about why it's a good idea.
Because it's only a 30-minute meeting.
Time is money.
This is all about me. 2 points on that. May I do a retort?
If you can do it quickly.
Very quick.
I am thinking about structuring a 3-hour show for you, our fans. We have 4 hours to put on a 3-hour show. In TV, you turn one story. I would just tell the managers, I'm doing this, trusted me, done. I was never long-winded.
But we only have a 30-minute meeting.
I stay on time. I have the alarm for 10:55. Here it is. I stay on track.
Do you like the morning meeting or do you not like the morning meeting?
I want it to end as soon as possible, but I do have, I gotta make my case for a really good thing. We have to create like 8 minutes of it. So I want to really explain myself, my case.
I want you to explain less.
I know you do.
And you probably want me to let you explain more.
Totally.
Good luck you two finding that compromise. My hands are off.
Monday morning. Okay, we also have a Monday morning meeting.
Oh, yes. Oh, boy. Are we going to talk about this?
Go ahead.
We got news coming up. No, this is a dangerous area.
We'll
discuss this at Monday's meeting.
You know the bosses are listening to this. You know the bosses are listening to this segment, right?
It was about me. It's okay. Okay. Never mind.
No, well, it was the same thing we just talked about. You were pitching a story, and the meeting's 45 minutes, and you took 43 minutes to pitch your story.
I was super excited, you guys. I was so excited. It was the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight.
It was great stuff.
I was telling one veteran story.
So right now, I'm moving my finger like a little tornado. Do you hate when I do that?
Never.
Okay, because that's a TV thing.
Are you mad at me for anything I said?
No, are you mad at me?
Absolutely not.
I'm mad at Adam.
Bye, guys.
I love you guys.
You know we love you, too. It is 3:58 at WTMJ.
Welcome, newcomers. The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.